Mrs. Tape, One Side A, Senate Committee on Government Operations, Thursday, July 9, 3:15 p.m., Hearing Room 343, State Capitol. Public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3170 relating to Legislative Assembly, on House Bill 2418 relating to elections, voting by mail, and work session on congressional redistricting.
Order. I don't know whether to get into any additional to the congressional district plans first. I want to get everybody that has one to present one and let them present them now. Because we'll wait till we get every one of them in before we take some action, but I don't want to leave anybody out who has a plan. Because I don't want to hear about it after we start work on it. This is the new one up here, the Halleck Wingard, or is this the one we have?
No, this is a new one.
All right, we'll let you present that first then.
Mr. Ekins will speak.
All right.
Maybe the best place to start would be the map we presented before. If you recall, we just started with Senate District Mines and then talked about creating a Mid-Valley District and pushing Albany and part of Linn County into that Mid-Valley District because of the community of interest was more similar there than it was to the southern part of the state. So what we've done, working with the populace, is part dictated by necessities of population and getting the deviation down as low as we could. We have Corvallis, Albany, the southern part, and the western part of Linn County, eastern part of Bend County, all in the 5th district. And then Salem, and almost all of Clackamas County, all of Marion County, Salem area, and this part of Marion and this part of Marion County are all in a Mid-Valley district. Now, to do that, we had to do several things using, starting from the basic Senate lines and from existing congressional districts. We left Lebanon and Sweet Home in the existing 4th congressional district. They don't change as far as their congressional representation. To get population to make up for this area here, and also because congressional district number 1 is overpopulated, we moved up the coast to just below Newport. It takes in Waldport, Yahas, and the LC area. That then becomes part of the 4th congressional district. District before ended up here. So it just moves it up the coast a little ways. It takes away from the 1st congressional district. There are several Senate districts that are split. Senate District 4, Simmons District, is split. It's split on the county line. The Clackamas County portion is in the new district. The Washington County portion is in District 1. Another split is Senator Meeker's District 15. It's covered by 2 congressional districts, but the line is drawn on county lines, which we tried to do as much as possible. If we deviated from the Senate line, we wanted to draw the line on the county line. There were, however, because population and enumeration district boundaries places, we weren't able to do that. So Lincoln County, Polk County, Linn County, and I think perhaps part of Clackamas County have lines that are not drawn according to any Senate or House lines. What happens in Clackamas County, legislative research I think has a map of how that happens, but has to, basically the Milwaukee Happy Valley area of Clackamas County is fits into Senate, Congressional District 3. The rest of Clackamas County then falls into the new congressional district. The other thing we tried to do on this is we tried to make sure that no county was split more than two ways. That seemed, we felt that was fairly important. We didn't want to have a county being split three different ways in three different congressional districts. So there are several counties that are split two ways, either by virtue of the existing Senate lines or by the other lines which we drew. There are Lincoln County, which is split here, Linn County, which is split here, Polk County, which is split here, Clackamas County, which is split up here between District 3, or, Congressional District 3 and the new one, then Josephine and Jackson, which are split down here basically by virtue of Senate districts. And the other is Multnomah County, which maintains the existing split between Congressional District 1 and Congressional District 3.
No, I just hold on.
This has a population deviation, total deviation, that District 1 is minus 0.28. District 5, the new district, is plus 0.36, which gives deviation spread of 0.64, which we felt was low. Perhaps we could, with some adjustments, go lower, but our goal was to get as low as possible, and particularly to get below a deviation of 1. Felt like that was a reasonable point beyond which we didn't want to go. So that's basically what it does. It takes Eastern Oregon, following pretty much Senate lines, except for because of an excess of population.
Is this the Weaver plan?
No.
Took out every area that would be might be competition to him. I see that.
He's running.
Go
for
ahead.
Governor. He's running for governor.
Oh, he's running for legislature. I mean, running for Congress again. No, he had a poll taken. He didn't come out so good, so he's now back for Congress.
What we did is it takes pretty much a number of the other plans. The Eastern Oregon District is basically what seems to be most of the plans have done with Eastern Oregon. And in order to get Corvallis, Albany, this part of Linn County, and this together with the other districts, and not split Clackamas County into three congressional districts. We ended up having to make population adjustment. And in order to keep this split on county line, in Senator Meeker's district, we ended up having to make population adjustments that ran this up the coast and split Polk County, keeping Monmouth and Independence in the new district, and Dallas ends up in staying in the District 1.
Thank you, Ron. Are there questions of Ron on this?
Okay, you're fine. Thank you. Now, would you, Dell, you have another plan you want to present?
Well, I presented one plan last time, which I showed on the board up here, and I don't have a large map, but we still try to retain the Senate, state Senate district lines, and this is another alternative. Basically the same concepts that I presented last time, but I think might be a little more palatable for political reasons. And so I'll just hand this out to include in your file as another possible alternative.
All right. That's as much as you want to present with that.
Can you give me a copy of it?
So I have to know. Is this what your plan looks like?
Okay, is there anybody else now who has a plan that they want to present?
Yeah, I got one.
Did you have a plan? You
yes, I don't have a large map either.
That's all right. Go ahead and present what you got. We'll get them. I want to get them all presented so we start working.
In the packet that's provided to us by our staff, there's two different plans. One is Plan F and another Plan G.
Plan F?
Plan F and Plan G.
Plan F and Plan G in your packet?
Give me a plan. That isn't worth it.
this ice?
It isn't worth the paper it's written on, I'll look at it.
Ice is gonna have a color.
I wish you'd color yours now.
What is your plan?
I'll learn it.
Where's our packet? I don't have a packet, I don't even miss it. Oh, it's the Senate bill.
It says the license.
Senator Ricker, if we could have the.
Oh, sure, go right ahead.
You wanna start with G's?
Yeah.
Where are we still?
Plan G, he's gonna show you a larger map so that you can get a better understanding of the differences in them, and but. Me and Norman is where we do that.
Senator Burbidge pointed out he had proposed two plans to have it throw up this morning. One was in your packet labeled F, which is an initial attempt. After he saw that, he asked us to make some modifications, and that is the result in Plan G. Plan G differs from your earlier ones in that Benton County, Cole County, the Albany area, and Sio are in New Valley District 5. West Salem, the immediate, I guess more urbanized portions of West Salem are in District 5. McMinnville is probably the biggest difference between that and the earlier plan, because it also goes into the Valley plans. Under the earlier ones, McMinnville is in House District number 1. The other changes that were made were to follow the county line going out between Marion and Linn counties. Major changes were in the from the other two plans were in the metro areas, in that Senator Burbidge has a portion of the Lake Oswego area, north of the lake and west of the lake, going into House District 1, and also that Wilsonville area. And then in the Milwaukee vicinity, we've changed the line a little bit how it's been proposed to you before, and that it takes out the Happy Valley area, which had been in going into the urban House District 3. That area will now go to House District 5, and a little bit more of the urban area south of Milwaukee will go in for District 3. The numbers work out pretty much the same, but the areas that he's proposed are a little bit different.
And the deviations are all less than one.
Right, are in the back of the your packet.
On the back of it also.
And the
under Plan F.
Justification or argument is to keep more urban with urban and more that tended toward rural with rural in the new District 5. Those are the main differences, and it's not all that much different from the Halleck-Wingard plan. Strengthens the Halleck-Wingard plan.
How does Senator Meeker like this?
Mr. Chairman.
He likes it. Puts him in there with me and Norman.
Does that green line across the bottom of the Yamhill Merritt Washington County line?
Which, this map, bottom map?
Bottom map.
Right, that's the Washington Merritt and Yamhill County line.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any other plans now? Have you got all the plans that you've brought in or been asked or supposed to release or not release?
I don't know if your packet has been explained to you earlier, but the plans in the packet listed A through H. A and B were plans, Senator Ripper's plan that he proposed was labeled A. Senator Isham's first plan he proposed last meeting is B. The C is the one that Senator Thorne presented to you last time. Or further, his first version, I should say. No, that's correct. That was the one Senator Thorne proposed to you. D was the first version that Senator Gulengoski and Wingard brought up, and then they modified that somewhat, and that resulted in E. And then F, there, again, is the one Senator Burbidge initially proposed.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Is the one presented called Halleck-Wingard, is that?
That is E.
That is E.
That is E now. E, right. That's the one that Ron Ekes just earlier briefed you on. And
that's
then F
also
is Senator. Yes. and F is Senator Burbidge's initial plan, G is his modified plan, and H is the one that Representative Priestley's intern has been working on that he'll present and talk to you a little bit about later, I guess. C was the, was Senator Thorne's initial plan. H is Representative Priestley. That one.
That's one that's gonna be very good.
Okay, any others?
Would I be allowed?
You already talked once.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay, all right. Have you got another one? Have you Priestley settled in on one yet?
Why don't you tell him, make up his mind what he's doing?
Huh?
We ought to have Representative Priestley make up his mind what he's doing.
Well, we pull out the other one, is this a substitute?
Mr. Chairman, like everybody else, he's trying to make accommodations.
Oh, is that what he's doing? I haven't seen him over here trying to make it, is all I wonder.
Is his plan H?
Yes, my plan is H.
I wouldn't know what he looked like if he came in, I haven't seen him.
Sort of, well, just, Senate District, Denise and Oregon remain the same, so House Districts 2 and 3 remain virtually unchanged. What I have done is I've tried to make the first congressional district as compact as is humanly possible, and I think I have succeeded. I've split Multnomah County along the river again, and my justification is that if you can split Multnomah County along the river, it's not too much of a sin to split Clackamas County along the river, and I have put Lake Oswego and that area in with the first congressional district. In addition to which, we have Western Portland, we have Columbia County, we have Clatsop County, Washington County, Tillamook County, and most, but not yet all, of Yamhill County. But not yet all part is just a little blip, which is Amity. That is in the 5th congressional district. The 4th congressional district is the areas of Jackson and Josephine County not covered by the 2nd district. Curry County, Coos County, Douglas County, all of Wayne County, very nearly all of Linn County, Lincoln County, and a small portion of Benton County, which is not in Senator Trolle's senatorial district, which leaves us with a 5th of basically a Corvallis, Marion County, Oregon City type district. That is to say, approximately or nearly 140,000 people in Clackamas County will go into the 5th district. All of Marion County, most of northwestern Linn County, which is approximately 69,000 people. All of Benton County, except that small portion I just mentioned. All of Polk County, that small blip again up in the end, though.
Mr. Chairman, why?
Why what, Senator?
Why is Amity the only part of Yamhill County that you put in the 5th district?
Well, I thought that would make it look more contiguous.
More contiguous?
Yes. It is the smoothest way to draw the district as I saw it. It could be redrawn to draw Amity out and just draw a little more Benton in.
There's not enough people in that little chunk of Yamhill to make it worth the effort. You might as well stick it in the rest of it.
There is 3,200, sir.
Does that throw you off?
Well, it does substantially, as I'd like to point out. The other plans have deviances, overall deviances. For example,
plan kind of like getting cut out and sent 57 feet.
Plan E has an overall deviance of 0.66%, and my plan has an overall deviance of 0.15%. Now, I noticed Monday that it was stressed that the total deviance be as low as possible. I think in drawing the lines where I have, I've gotten the deviance as low as humanly possible and still drawn acceptable districts.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps Representative Priestley thinks I'm a candidate for Congress in District 5 and wants to keep me in it.
I suppose. Starting a bandwagon.
I've been working on it, and Representative Priestley has basically just given his oversight to it. It's not been a project of his, per se.
All right.
Thank you. Questions?
I'd like to commend the young man. He's done a lot of hard work, and I think the deviances are close, and he's got an interesting plan. I don't know whether they're going to adopt it or not, but certainly it's as good as most of them we've seen, not
Thank
better.
Thank you, members of the committee.
Thank you. Anybody else know?
No one else.
All right, then that we'll finish the districting right now. We'll move on to the next two bills we have. We have one called House Bill 3170, which deals with the Legislative Assembly. Marcia, would you like to explain what this does?
What bill do we look for?
This is 3170. This is a bill which puts provisions relating to the operation of the Legislative Assembly all into the same chapter. They're scattered throughout chapters presently, and this bill puts them all into the same chapter without changing any of the procedures relating to the operation of the Legislative Assembly. It also makes some changes in the language which talks about filling vacancies. A couple of changes. Notice in writing to the Secretary of the State is required before a member can officially resign. And language which requires the county courts or the county commissioners to select from a list of five candidates which has been supplied to them is reinserted into the bill. And that's basically what the bill does. The,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Powell.
What do you say was necessary prior to a member resigning?
Notice in writing to the Secretary of State is required before.
What's your address, Norma?
This bill was the bill on the House side, which had a minority report on it, which would have changed the legislative salary from $600 to $700, from $700 to $595.
That didn't pass on House side.
Is there anybody from legislative rules or any rest of the speaking to testify? Huh? It's supposed to just bring all of the legislative things together.
Mr. Chairman, is the bill in good shape?
But we don't have anybody here supposed to be testifying.
Is the bill in good shape?
I think it is.
Would you like a motion on it?
It's at the request of the Speaker and the President. It's supposed to put them all together.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Chairman,
I would move the bill to the floor with due pass recommendation.
It's been moved that we send House Bill.
Do you want to have a hearing?
Going to have a hearing. We're going to just put your motion into effect right now, and if anybody wants to testify, we'll let you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Just could I ask a question?
Yeah, go right ahead. That's what it's here for.
These House amendments. Thing wasn't engrossed that they aren't doing. Line 19, I'm reading the amendment, serve the appointment and listed by the nominees. This is a vacancy in the Legislative Assembly, and the Secretary of State is providing the nominees to fill this now vacated office in the Legislative Assembly? No? Yes.
Norma, would you? I think 171060 describes how that the local central committee furnishes five names. Is that the way it works?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know anything about this bill, but I do remember Mr. McMurdo making a passing reference to bringing a glitch to the attention of either this committee or the House committee. The present system is, and the law is, that if one of you should resign, then you must notify our office, and that is essential because we can't start the replacement procedure, which is made by the county commissioners. There has to be some formal resignation filed with the Secretary of State's office, we in turn then notify the county commissioners that there is a vacancy, outline the timeframe in which they have to come up with their five nominees to the, and deal with the parties. That's the current law, from what you read, it sounds to me like we're just, it's the same thing.
I think it is.
Well, I don't see it, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we're gonna look up 171060. Procedures for bond.
Yeah, I wanna make sure that the precinct people, as I understand the present procedure, they meet and they, choose a slate, they forward the slate.
Under 171060, because that's what it refers to, five nominees furnished by the Secretaries of State pursuant to ORS 171060. And in that, it states that the precinct committee persons, there's other here, but I'll read you their part. The precinct committee persons of the party representing the precincts within the district who were precinct committee persons of the precinct when the vacancy occurred shall nominate five qualified persons to fill the vacancy. As soon as the nominees have been appointed, the party shall notify the Secretary of the State of the persons nominated. The Secretary of State shall notify the county courts or board of county commissioners of the counties constituting the district in which the vacancy exists of the nominees and the number of votes apportioned to each member of the county court, boards, and county commissioners under ORS 171062 and 2064. The Secretary of State shall set a time for the meeting of the county boards or courts and of the county commissioners in order to fill the vacancy. If the district is composed of more than one county, the Secretary of State shall name the temporary chairman and designate a meeting place within the district for the county courts, the boards, and county commissioners shall convene. When the office of senator or representative not affiliated with a major political party, that vacancy is to be filled by an appointing authority provided. The Secretary of State shall notify the county boards and so-and-so, and that must...
We're simply the legal...
That's for the one who doesn't belong to a party, yeah.
And if the bill does something other than the current law, we're not aware of it.
Yeah. And if you'd like to give that to some... I agree with him, I don't want to change it. And I don't think this changes anything. This is supposed to just bring all of the things into one chapter, is my understanding.
Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
It is the current law then that if someone, say a senator resigns 100 days prior to an election, then there is no appointment date.
I think it's
90 days.
Oh, it says here within 90 days. I read 90 days. A general election will not be held within 90 days after the date the vacancy occurred. That would
so
be on 14.
So if it's 85 days, then the rest of the bill the vacancy is not filled. But if it's more than 90 days, it is. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is today.
Yeah. And it shall be filled within 30 days of the vacancy.
So, Mr. Chairman, this bill really simply puts together all of the existing statutes but doesn't change the content.
No, and just puts them into one chapter.
Right. Legislative Council's checked it out to see that it's accurate.
My understanding.
Kathleen drafted.
Kathleen, well, okay.
And there's not supposed to be any substantive changes in it.
Move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
All right, it's been moved then that we send House Bill 3170 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Will you call the roll, please?
Aye, no doubt.
Chairman Howard?
No.
Mayor Harkin?
Aye.
Mayor Meeker?
Aye.
Mayor Fox?
Aye.
Mayor Powell?
No.
Senator Sherrill?
Aye.
Senator Lingard?
Aye.
Senator Senator Ashen?
Aye.
Senator Ripley?
Aye. Motion is carried. We'll now open the hearing on 2418, which is the vote by mail, and we'll call on the Secretary of State, Norma Paulus, and whoever else you want to bring with you, Norma.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Norma Paulus, Secretary of State, and with me is Ray Phelps, Director of Elections. Our involvement with the vote by mail program started during the last legislative session when we met and visited about the possibility of enacting such a statute with members of the House Elections Committee. We felt at that time that we didn't have enough information about anyone who had really experienced it to recommend it to our state, but we told the House Elections Committee last session that we would monitor what California was doing, because California was the only state in the nation that had a statute that authorized vote by mail, and up until very recently they had done little or nothing with it. After this session started, Mr. Phelps was attending a Federal Elections Commission meeting in Washington, D.C., and learned that California was about to make a major step in this direction. And when we learned that San Diego and Los Angeles were going to conduct two large elections entirely by mail on measures, not candidates, I went to the Speaker of the House and told him that this was happening and that I was going to have Mr. Phelps go down there a few days before and a few days after to monitor the entire system, and that I felt it would be very helpful if people in the political world saw the same thing that the Director of Elections saw, so that you'd be seeing it from the candidate standpoint and also from the mechanical standpoint. The Oregonian had evinced some interest in this, and Mr. Hildebrand of the Oregonian said that he wanted to go,